الحمد لله الحمد لله كفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elders and brothers in Islam, this Ramadan that passed, what I want to speak about today, I have discussed this in length. It was the second Sunday in Ramadan in this masjid that I discussed it at length. For more than 50 minutes we spoke at that time. In this limited time, I wish to highlight certain important points that I discussed at that time. The occasion is different, the gathering is different, and as a reminder to myself and all of us, even if you heard something numerous times over, but it benefits us, there's no harm in listening to these things for our benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran Sharif speaks about the incident of where he instructed Iblis. One is he instructed all the angels, and secondly he instructed with the angels, Iblis Shaytan was living with them. He was also instructed usjudu li Adam, make sajda for Adam alayhi salam. سَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ All the angels made sajda, illa Iblis. Iblis and Shaitan, he did not make sajda. Lengthy incident, we heard this many times. But Allah Ta'ala speaks about this incident 7 times in the Quran. Not once, not twice, not thrice, 7 times. Showing us the benefit of repetition. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Allah Ta'ala says that continuously remind people. فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Definitely, Allah Ta'ala says with emphasis, most definitely, reminders benefit those who have iman. So that means a person who has iman is a Muslim, is a mu'min, can never ever say that I know this, I don't have to be reminded. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif that it is beneficial for us. These verses are recited at the beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about many aspects. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى This is what I want to speak about today, the second part of these verses. Allah ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى A person who has purified himself. A person who spiritually cleanses himself. Such a person is successful. وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى Together with purifying himself, he makes the constant dhikr of Allah, he remembers Allah, performs his salah. He is a proper abid and worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah ta'ala says, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى This is what I want to speak about. Allah Ta'ala says that what causes us not to acquire and not to obtain the spiritual reformation, not to remember Him, and then resulting in us not being successful. Allah Ta'ala highlights one very important lesson for all of us. And that is that when we give preference to تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا We give preference to the worldly life over the hereafter. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى Allah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the hereafter is better and will remain much, much, much more longer. The important lesson Allah ta'ala is highlighting for us here, each one of us should introspect our life. In which way, in which form, am I giving preference to the worldly life over the hereafter? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say that do not live in the world, do not have the things of the world, do not be a normal human insan living his life in his world. Merely Allah ta'ala says, do not give preference. Do not give preference to the worldly life over the hereafter. Famous example, 120 times you may have heard, Mawlana Rumi rahmatullah alayhi, in Ma'arif al-Mathnawi, gives a famous example, which is no time to go into the details, of those people traveling in that ship in the water. Lesson is that you need the water to travel in your ship, but if the water comes into the ship, then you're in trouble. In the same way, you need the worldly life, you need your profession, your business, your career, and whatever else. But the problem comes where that comes into the heart. And that becomes the end all and be all of your life. This is where you have the problem. The preference is given to the worldly life over the hereafter. If I just have to speak about this point, there's so much of details. But let's go to a few examples. How we find that our preferences in life are incorrect. One is this, what I mentioned of the worldly life over the hereafter. Secondly, with regards to education. Preference is given to secular education over Islamic education. We all know what are the pros and cons, what are the benefits of Islamic education over secular education. Secular education has its place in a person's life. No prohibition to acquire secular education, but obviously there are certain conditions attached. But the preference must be to Islamic education over secular education. Today we can see in terms of timings, what is happening. How many hours every day, ourselves and our children, how much of time, how much of wealth, how much of resources are used for secular education over Islamic education? And we all know, the Islamic education is that which will benefit us, our children, our progenies in this world and the hereafter. In contrast to secular education, that a person may benefit from it in this world. But we know in the hereafter what happens there. It is then useless, of no worth. Today we find so many times when it comes to a madrasa, the parents will say, the child already spent 7 hours, 8 hours in the acquiring, in the furthering and acquiring of secular education. Comes to madrasa, we must cut down the time, cut down the days. Don't teach this, don't teach that. They become the teachers. When it comes to secular education, what the sir and ma'am says, leave it to them. They know better. When it comes to Islamic education, we think we know better. We dictate to the Mawlana and the Apa and the Ustad and the Sheikh and the Mufti and the Imam. You must do like this, don't teach like that. Have so many days, deduct, cut down the timings, allow my child this, that and the other. Brothers in Islam, if we will continue at this rate today, deep down, think what will be the future. We're cutting down so much of time as it is they attending madrasa for 1 to 1.5 hour, or maybe a bit more. And that too, we've cut the days down to maybe 2 days in a week, 4 days, 3 days, 1 day. Secular education, prim and proper. Before the time, after that, extramurals. So many other things, tuition, dini education, is something becoming sidelined. And this norm is increasing. Where the matter is getting worse and worse. The mother is shopping in one area. She wants to send to the madrasa or to the apa just for Quran or maybe surahs or what she wants. For a few minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes. And that's what we call madrasa today. They again from 5 days to 4 days to 3 days to 2 days to 1 day and sometimes nothing at all. Where is our preference today in terms of Islamic education and secular education? That's the second example. If I have to go into this itself, there's so much to speak about. Third being, with regards to our charities, preferences, many people, mashallah, are very charitable. Allah reward them and accept their charities and give us tawfiq also. But we find that many times what is compulsory upon a person to pay is zakat. That is many times not fulfilled correctly and properly and timeously. Whereas the optional charities, lillah, sadaqah, etc., those are given preferences many times. Many times when it comes to zakat, we don't even know who to give it to. How to pay it. What details there are. We don't take out the time to find out properly how it should be discharged. And that is, we find by not doing so, we are causing more harm than benefit to ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in the Quran Sharif, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Allah ta'ala says that He instructs Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that take from their wealth this zakat which will purify them, which will cleanse them by giving that zakat, that charity out. This zakat is so little, 2.5%. It's not a tax. It's not no oppression whatsoever. Rather, it's beneficial for us. The way it is purifying our wealth. It's like, we can call it like, in this world we want every form of insurance. This is Allah's so-called insurance of our wealth. Protection. In that sense, where it's from Allah's side. Who is the giver? Who is the protector? Allah. And we find the multiple, so many benefits of giving that zakat out. One of it being that the situation we are today of drought, famine, etc. If it is paid out correctly, the zakat, correctly, timeously, properly, the correct avenues, we find all these afat, bala, musibat, difficulties, predicaments, problem will be removed. Inshallah. So again, the third point, third example of preferences is that we are more concerned about optional over that which is compulsory. Fourth example of preferences is that of one side what is due upon us and one is that which is optional in terms of payments. A person has debts. A person has to pay out an estate. He has to pay out heirs in an estate. He's got so many debts and so many loans to pay out, which are due and compulsory upon him. And then, mashallah, he's more concerned about his nafil charities. Come the masjid, come the madrasa, come Ramadan, feed the entire town to the extent that people can even bath in halim. So much of halim people give out. So much is done. Which is, that which is optional. But the same person, when it comes to his dues and his payments and his debts, which is compulsory upon him and a binding on him, he's shirking those responsibilities. The truth is, he's squeezing the blood of those creditors. Not paying them, but being very charitable. Building that masjid, building that madrasa, helping the orphans and poor. Great deeds, great reward. But whose wealth? Deep down, he must ask himself, whose wealth am I using? Am I using mine? No. I'm using people's wealth that I am supposed to pay to them. And I'm squeezing their blood, delaying the payment, oppressing the heirs in an estate, the orphans, the widows, the females, the young ones, and taking that same wealth and giving charity. Allah Ta'ala is tayyib. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبُ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Most definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tayyib, full of purity, pak, pure. لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts that which is pure and pak and clean. You can apply for every form of legal assistance. Liquidation, sequestration, administration orders. Get away from the creditors. Form different forms of trusts and CCs. We know what happens in the community today. But there you're taking that wealth and giving the charity. Giving your optional charity. Let us understand our priorities and preferences in life. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question that person who had his debts to pay, why you never give your optional charity. Rather, he'll question the person. And in fact, the person will be rather punished for not paying his dues. So we need to get our balances, checks and balances, moderation, our preferences corrected, our understanding corrected in terms of this also. Famous hadith, no time to go into the details. Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, he asked his Sahaba radiallahu anhum, أَتَدْرُونَ مَنِ الْمُفْلِسِ. Do you know who is a bankrupt person? Sahaba replied, مَنْ لَا دِرَمَ لَوْ وَلَا مَتَعْ. Person got no money, no goods. Bankrupt, nothing he has. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies, lengthy hadith. As I said, there's no time to go into the details of every aspect of the hadith. الَّذِي يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِصْفَلَاتٍ كَثِيرًا صِيَامٍ كَثِيرًا. Day of Qiyamah, he'll come to Allah. He'll be resurrected with plenty good deeds. Salah, namaz, charities, fasting, many other good deeds. His tilawat of Quran, recitation of Quran, his dhikr. Maybe he went for umrahs and hajj and whatever other good deeds he did. With regards to hukukullah, he was fine. But hukukul ibad, hukukul nas, the rights of people. شَتَمَ هَذَا ضَرَبَ هَذَا أَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا. Verbally abuse people. Last night in one of our programs I mentioned that verbal abuse and swearing using vulgar language is one form of diarrhea, verbal diarrhea you can call it, where people are not at ease until I must swear someone. I must use vulgar language. Every second word, every sentence, I must abuse someone, I must use that word. And they thrive on it. They are happy, they are proud about it. So here the person did so much of good, but verbally abused. ضَرَبَ هَذَا. He physically abused people. أَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا. He devoured, he stole, usurped the rights and wealth of people. Debts were due upon him. He made every excuse under the sun, and may I say even under the moon, to get away in every form. Used every trick in the book, and he thought he got away in this world. But one day he has to pay. He'll pay year two, he'll pay in the grave two and a year after. So he stole the wealth of people. When it comes to the estate, he was the executor. He was the person in charge, or he was some elder person, did not pay the orphans, did not pay the widows, did not pay so many people in the estate. In the estate. So this person becomes bankrupt. Famous hadith. What happens is the good deeds of this person will be taken and given to those people who he did wrong to in this world. Once his good deeds, fa'in faniyat hasanatu, Now his good deeds are over. No more left. The evil deeds of those people are placed onto his account. As a result, he becomes bankrupt on the day of death. So we are speaking about preferences. When it comes to our preferences in life, let us see where's our preference. I've got so many debts to pay. I've got so much due upon me. Focus upon that. Yes, if a person can do that also and give his charities, it's a different matter. But again, preferences. That's the fourth example I gave. Fifth example. When it comes to an estate, when it comes to a will, a person made out, people are very much concerned today about the bequest part. The part where you bequeath to an heir, or you bequeath to a non-heir, or to some worthy cause. But when it came to the aspect of how the will was drawn out, that is un-Islamic. How many times we find bequests are made to heirs when Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "La wasiyyata li warith." Golden principle: you cannot bequeath to an heir. The ulama, the scholars will explain you further details, what this means, in what context, etc. But that's the golden principle. The person has made a bequest to his heir, the wife, the son, the parents, the daughter, from the estate. He's not worried about that aspect. When we came to the aspect of giving out his wealth one third, some bequest to make, he's concerned more about that. The preference was supposed to be, first of all, to make the will, and secondly, to make the will Islamic. Thereafter, include those aspects. But again, the preferences. The next example we can give is with regards to a person's traveling. How many we find today? They haven't been for Hajj, although they could. But there they are going for holidays upon holidays, Umrah upon Umrah. This timeshare, that holiday, that special somewhere. And there the person hasn't been for Hajj and he got the means. It's a different matter if there's a delay for other reasons. When it came to his approval from the side of for visa reasons, etc. But he's made, you make the effort from your side. Your labbaik is there, you'll go. No government, no organization can stop you if your labbaik is there. Man labba marratan hajja marratan. Mufassirin writes, a person said labbaik in alam arwah. The lengthy details. A lot of details to it. Alastu bi rabbikum. When Allah Ta'ala spoke to us in alam arwah. Before we were in bodily form. We were in spirit, in ruh form. Soul form. At that time, whoever said labbaik once will go for hajj once. Man labba marratain hajj marratain. Man labba miraran hajj miraran. You read labbaik twice, you go twice. Read labbaik few times, you'll go many times. Accordingly, you'll go. But you made your effort from your side. After that is a delay. For whatever reason, it's a different matter. Allah knows what's in your heart. But unnecessarily, the preference is now that I must go for this holiday, for Umrah, for this, some other travel it be. But no effort is being made to go for Hajj. I know personally of so many people. Hajj is due upon them. Compulsory for years. But they've made no effort. Each time you speak to the person, it's something like foreign. Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if a person who has the means of Hajj and he delays, he does not perform his Hajj, فَلَا عَلَيْهِ أَن يَمُوتَ يَهُودِيًا أَوْ نَصْرَانِيًا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. That I don't care. I'm not concerned. Who says this? Pyare Nabi, Muhammad Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, la alayhi. It's not upon him. I'm not concerned of him. He dies as a Yahudi or Nasrani, a Jew or a Christian. Because he had the means and he delayed. So again, our preferences. Preference should be for Hajj. Make sure we go all out, whatever we have to do from our side. And fulfill the responsibility. So all these examples I mentioned, when it came to the worldly life, over the hereafter, came to education, came to zakat, over the optional wealth, optional charities, came to our debts and dues upon the optional charities. When it came to the aspect of the will to be made out Islamically, and then concern more about how the will is made upon the other extras that we, optional upon us, then upon traveling. Like that, there are so many examples in my mind. Time has expired. But the whole idea is, as a Muslim in this world, Allah Ta'ala advises us all the time. In that verse I recited at the beginning, I'm repeating it now. Bal tukthiruna al-hayat ad-dunya. Problem is, we give preference to the worldly life. And that is what is causing us to be such that we are not from aflah, from those people that are successful in this world and hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq and hidayah to understand where our preferences lie. How to be more understanding, moderate minded in terms of sharia, of sunnah, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah give me give all of us tawfiq.